Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, the 17th of July. Coming up, we've spoken to health bosses in Kent who have warned children need to be up to date with their measles vaccinations if we want to avoid an outbreak. We've also got reaction from the debate in Parliament over Kent Online's Blue Badge campaign. But first, taking a look at our top story today. The body of a man missing from Hawkhurst has been found in Woodland more than a week after his disappearance. Lucy's got some more details for the podcast for us. She's with me now. Luce, what can you tell us about this case?
Well, 32-year-old Lee Young went missing from Hawkhurst at around 8:45am last Tuesday. He'd last been seen near the A229 Cranbrook Road in Gills Green. His disappearance sparked a search from police. Both Kent Online and our sister station KMFM shared his picture and details in the hopes the public would be able to help find him. Only yesterday, his father, Gary Young, put out an emotional appeal for any information about his son. The heartbroken dad previously told Kent Online his son works as a handyman, and on the day he disappeared, he'd told his partner, who's pregnant, that he needed to pop out and do a few things, but that he loved her and would be home after.
And yesterday, a body was found.
That's right. Police have confirmed they were called to a wooded area near Slip Mill Road in Gills Green just before 10am yesterday. A man was confirmed deceased at the scene. At the time of recording today's podcast, formal identification is yet to take place. However, Lee Young's family have been informed the death is not being treated as suspicious.
And the family have posted a tribute to Lee online.
Yes, Gary wrote online, "He will be missed by so many. Please light a candle for him and pray. Remember him in your thoughts, the good times, the laughter." He'd described his son as amazing and respectful, and how during his last chats he'd been positive about the future. The family have asked for space while they process the news and say they'll share funeral details later down the line.
Kent Online News.
Two men who carried out robberies while armed with an imitation gun have been sent to prison. An investigation found they targeted sex workers at a property in Maidstone and at a Holiday Inn hotel in Sittingbourne because they didn't think the women would go to police. The 46 and 25-year-olds have been jailed for a total of more than 11 years. Our reports revealed a single special needs pupil in Kent is costing taxpayers more than £160,000 a year. Details have been discussed during a scrutiny committee meeting at the County Council. The total annual cost of home-to-school transport for SEND children currently stands at £97 million. Bosses say they're going to raise concerns directly with the government. Now, health bosses in Kent say we need to increase vaccine rates to prevent an outbreak of measles. Fewer than 85% of children in the county are getting both doses of the MMR jab, according to the latest data. That's well below the target of 95%. Concerns are growing following the death of a child from measles in Liverpool. Medway GP Dr. Julian Spinks has been chatting to Bartholomew Hall on KMTV.
It's very sad because it is preventable. If we get the vaccine rates up, particularly over 95%, you more or less eradicate it. We'd almost got rid of measles worldwide. And unfortunately, all the scares that happened with the Wakefield paper about possible links to autism, which have been proven to be wrong, we've got this drop off, and we're in some parts of Medway we've got less than 80%, so there's one in five children who are susceptible to measles. If you look at an outbreak, it's rather like a forest fire. If the trees are too spaced out, so in other words you've vaccinated lots of children, the fire won't move from tree to tree. The more trees you have, the more susceptible children and adults, the more things can happen. You have to remember that measles is just about the most contagious disease that we have. You have a 9 out of 10 chance of catching measles if you're not protected by vaccination and you're within close contact of somebody, so within a family, for example.
And in terms of increasing vaccine uptake, does it make it that ever more sort of difficult when it is young children that have to be vaccinated?
Yes, there's this weird thing that people sort of go, well, if I vaccinated them and it come to harm, I'd never forget myself. And they sort of forget that if they don't vaccinate them, if we get measles coming back, one in four children who get measles ends up in hospital. And it's not just the ones who die. You get people with encephalitis, inflammation of the brain. You can have permanent damage to sight, to hearing and so on. people get a pneumonia with it and get lung problems. So it's not a nice disease at all. It's not a sort of minor childhood illness, which is the impression some people are getting.
Yeah, a really nasty condition. And in terms of some of the reasons why people are opposed to vaccinations, of course, there have been conspiracy theories in the last few years. But as well, other people might say that, well, just the day-to-day busyness of life makes them forget about the importance of it.
Certainly from the practices I work in, we constantly contact people whose children haven't been vaccinated to say, come in, you know, it's 5 minutes of your time, it'll protect your child. There are more and more people who are vaccine hesitant because they're worried. They're seeing on social media and through other sources information which actually is not right. It gives misleading information. Why people want to spread information like that, I really don't understand. But the autism story really is done and dusted. We've got so much evidence that shows there is no link whatsoever. I think people can be reassured that's not the case.
Now, I've also been speaking to the Deputy Director of Public Health at KCC about this. Dr. Ellen Schwartz agrees with Dr. Spinks about the importance of taking up the vaccines. She's also stressed to me how important it is for parents to make sure that children have both doses of the jab.
If a child gets two doses of MMR vaccine, protection throughout their lifetime is around 99%. So it's really, really effective. So it's really pleading to you parents out there, do get your children vaccinated. I know it from my own, having kids, that by the time you have the second child, you actually can forget. Don't forget. It's there. People are reaching out to you, GP practices, and do get hold of both vaccines. And rest assured, your child is super protected.
It is two vaccines, and I think there's some thinking out there that's like, well, if they've had one vaccine, then, you know, they don't really need the other one. You know, one will give them enough protection. Why is it essential that children do have both doses of the vaccine?
Well, it's just sort of one vaccine does give you a little bit of protection, but the second vaccine is really making sure that you have this long-lasting protection. So one vaccine is offered to a child at the age of 1 year, and the second dose at around about the age of 3 years and 4 months. And it is important to get this long-lasting protection, to have the second vaccine. Just to add in this context, it's really also, if you're a young adult, check that you have two vaccines or any vaccine in place, because measles doesn't just affect children. So it is really an opportunity, if you're in touch with the GP, just checking, can I just have a look? Do you know my measles vaccination record? And then have another booster. The other thing to mention is really, because of the falling rates globally, and the kind of our traveling behavior now, and before the summer holidays, do check your vaccination status. We're going potentially into areas where measles is actually about, and it's really important that in addition to any travel vaccines, make sure you're vaccinated for measles as well.
In the first 6 months of this year, there have been 19 confirmed cases of the measles in the southeast.
Kent Online News.
Elsewhere today, a mum who had an aggressive form of bowel cancer is trying to raise £100,000 for treatment abroad. Rebecca Rogers was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and has already had surgery and chemotherapy on the NHS. The 36-year-old from Sturry near Canterbury says there's a treatment in Germany that could help. She set up a GoFundMe page to try and raise the cash. A care home in Chatham has been rated inadequate for a second time following an inspection. Our reports revealed how a staff member at the White House on Maidstone Road was seen kissing a resident on the lips, and the emergency bell was being used to order cups of tea. The Care Quality Commission has placed the home in special measures and will monitor the site to make sure improvements are made. A debate's been held in Parliament following calls to introduce temporary blue badges for people with short-term health conditions. It was a campaign that was launched by Kent Online. Andy Burr from Maidstone is among those struggling with the parking permit system after being diagnosed with cancer.
It's very good that someone's finally listening and trying to make some change for the people that need it. So I'm just glad that someone's took it and is trying to get it taken further.
Just going to ask you very quick, have you got a blue badge yet?
No.
Okay. Tell us why you're, I guess, campaigning for that blue badge. What is it that you need it for?
I'm campaigning for it because I did apply for one and was refused on the basis that I may not need it in 3 years' time, which I totally agree with. However, what do I do in the meantime? I need one now. I've needed one for coming up for a year now. There's no other option but to apply for a full 3 year. If there was a different option, that's what I would have applied for. But, you know, to deny somebody that needs a badge, to deny them it because their ailment may not last 3 years isn't good enough, I don't think.
All 18 of Kent's MPs have signed up to support the campaign for change. Tris Osborne represents Chatham and Aylesford. He had three direct questions for the government.
First of all, whether there is work that is ongoing on a positive basis within the department to potentially look at the blue badge scheme on a review basis, and whether any review could conclude that we extend the eligibility of this. Second of all, whether any guidance is being provided to local councils on local schemes, so using best practice from, say, some of the London councils, and whether we can extend that principle, because there is a bit of an inconsistency with councils about examples of where this works in practice. So if I could ask if that's happening. And then thirdly, I understand the government is absolutely committed to support through the NHS, through extra investment into our hospitals and frontline services. That is extremely welcome. Whether there's some cross-departmental work we can do with Department for Health to potentially facilitate blue badges for those that are leaving hospital as part of their discharge regimen, so that they get an automatic letter that can then be submitted into a public body, so that we can actually get a sort of seamless service rather than someone having to go through a regimented application process, whether we can just use a bit of common sense across departments so that people then don't have to go through a bureaucracy to apply for it. So, I'm quietly confident that we can see change on this, working with campaigners and on a cross-party basis, and I want to thank everyone for coming this afternoon.
MP Lillian Greenwood said the government is open to a review to see where changes can be made.
I come back to the questions from my honourable friend when he asked whether work is ongoing to review the scheme. We constantly consider the scheme and look to improve it. I felt it was somewhat rude of the opposition spokesperson to refer back to things that were last changed in 2000 and then suggest that within the first year of being the minister, I should have conducted a review and made major changes, when rather the last 14 years might have provided an opportunity to address some of these issues. Nevertheless, I think it is timely to think about the scheme and to look at whether there is a need for review and further refinement. As I've said already, there is guidance to local councils on best practice. And I know that local authority blue badge officers come together to talk about their experience of administering the system and to share notes and share best practice. Indeed, I met a number of them when we went to visit, last time that they got together in Runcorn, which is where the blue badges are actually issued. I note that you also asked about the potential for cross-departmental work with colleagues in the National Health Service and in the Department for Health and Social Care. And I think that is something that I would be happy to explore further with colleagues in those departments. And I hope that will have the support of everyone who's spoken today.
Conservative MP for Maidstone and Morling, Helen Grant, spoke to us after the debate.
I think it went quite well. It was well attended. There were passionate contributions right across the House. I felt the Minister was listening very carefully. She agreed, to my pleasant surprise, to also meet with us. It will probably be after recess now, but there is a meeting that she will have with us whereby we'll go into further details about what we want and what we need. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think that's positive. She's also agreed to reconsider the matter. And I was quite concerned before the debate that the government were fairly resistant, but now there's been a movement, and that's good.
Kent Online News.
A warning's been issued for heavy rain and thunderstorms in Kent. The yellow alert comes into force at 9 a.m. tomorrow and lasts until 6 p.m. Saturday. The Met Office says there's a chance we could get 90 millimetres of rain in less than 3 hours, with a risk of flooding, power cuts and travel disruption. The daughter of a Kent PCSO who was murdered near Dover is raising money to help tackle violence against women. Julia James was killed while she walked her dog in snow down in 2021. A 21-year-old man was jailed for life. Bethan Coles, who lives in Folkestone, will take on an ultra marathon this weekend. They're hoping to raise £7,000 for the White Ribbon Trust. Two teenagers have been arrested as police continue to crack down on antisocial behaviour in Thanet. A dispersal order was in place over the weekend. During that time, a 15-year-old boy was arrested on suspicion of assaulting a shopkeeper. A 17-year-old boy was also detained for obstruction and assault on an officer. Both have been released and issued with community resolutions. A shoplifter who tried to get away from police by jumping off a pier in Chatham has been sent to prison. Michael Thompson was suspected of stealing more than £400 worth of goods from a BP petrol station when he was spotted by police in the High Street. He was chased to Sun Pier. This is the moment officers caught up with him.
Officer, it's Taser! Stay in there, mate!
I'm jumping.
No, you're not, mate. No,
I'm jumping.
Get in.
Get off me!
No!
The 37-year-old from Trafalgar Street in Gillingham has been locked up for 25 weeks. He must also pay compensation. A preschool in Medway has announced its sudden closure just a few days before the end of term. Jack's Nursery has 39 children on roll and is based in the grounds of Twiddle Primary School. Bosses have blamed a lack of government funding and legal issues with their site. They'll be shutting tomorrow. There's been another drop in unemployment in Kent. According to figures out today, 39,870 people were claiming out-of-work benefits in the county in May. That's down by 385 compared to the previous month. Now, the MP for Ashford is calling for an inquiry into decisions made by the County Council and Kent Resilience Forum to deploy Operation Brock. The contraflow system has come into force on the M20 between Maidstone and Ashford ahead of the summer holidays. It's designed to manage the flow of traffic if there are delays at the Port of Dover or Eurotunnel in Folkestone. Sojourn Joseph has raised the issue in the House of Commons.
I rise to present a petition on behalf of my constituents who are deeply frustrated by the regular deployment of Operation Brock. The decision by Kent County Council and the Kent and Medway Resilience Forum to queue freight lorries on the M20 during the school holidays caused a severe disruption for local residents and businesses and is hugely expensive. My constituents do not object to Brock being deployed in emergencies, and reassurances were given that this would happen. However, it is still being regularly deployed as a precautionary measure, and it will come into force once again later this week. The petitioners therefore request that the House of Commons urge the Transport Select Committee to launch an inquiry into the decisions taken by the Kent County Council and the Kent and Medway Resilience Forum to regularly deploy Operation Brock, and into what work is being undertaken to find a long-term alternative. And the petitions remain, etc.
The petition's been sent to the Department for Transport for consideration. Plans to build a solar farm the size of 106 football pitches in a village near Sittingbourne have been recommended for approval. A renewable energy company wants to install panels on land around Pitstock Farm in Rodmersham, near an area that's been earmarked for a new Highstead Park housing estate. It's claimed it could power 14,000 homes, but there are concerns about the loss of green space. Plans have been approved to downsize part of an historic convent in Gravesend by turning some of it into housing. Three buildings at the Convent of Mercy Hill on Hillside Drive could be converted. It's run by the Sisters of Mercy, who say the current site is too big and it costs too much to run and maintain. There are plans to turn a scrapped film studio project in Ashford that had been linked to Netflix into affordable housing. The streaming giant was expected to take over the abandoned Newtown Railway Works but have pulled out over financial stresses. 200 affordable properties could be built there instead. However, a formal application hasn't been submitted yet. A Great Gatsby-themed ball is being held at Canterbury Cathedral in a bid to raise money. It's as church bosses look for new ways to cover their annual £11 million running costs. It's happening in September. And a former Crazy Golf site in Margate is going to be turned into a £1 million skate park. Council approved the plans for the site in Ethelbert Crescent in Cliftonville last year. It'll include various size bowls, ramps and ledges. Bosses hope to have it up and running in March next year.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket and England's women have suffered a 4-wicket defeat to India in their first one-day international. Kent's Tammy Beaumont only managed 5 runs during the game in Southampton. The tourists reached their victory target of 259 with 10 balls remaining. They'll play again at Lord's on Saturday. And staying with cricket, Kent are preparing for a hugely important game in the T20 Blast. They're taking on Essex at Canterbury tomorrow night and need to win for a chance of making the quarterfinals. It follows a victory over Middlesex last weekend. Kent captain Sam Billing spoke to reporter Matt Panting ahead of the game.
Obviously Essex, they haven't quite kind of fired this year, but we know how many dangerous players they've got. So we're going to have to be right on it, and I'm sure a couple of those lads will be fired up to try and put a performance in against us. So like I said, we can only focus on what we need to do, and we've got the quality in the side to do that. It's just about, you know, like I said, focus on our kind of processes and what we do well as a team, and hopefully we can get the result. Let's be honest, you know, the two sides that have been towards the bottom of the division, if we can't beat those guys in the last 2 games of the year, then we don't deserve to go through. So, you know, that's just a fact. Not to say, you know, we don't respect both opponents. They've got some brilliant players, but from our point of view, yeah, we don't deserve to go through if we can't beat the bottom side. So I think that's just true to say in any sport. So like I said, looking forward to Friday night, and hopefully we can make a statement.
Home advantage in your favour Friday as well?
I hope so. Yeah, of course. Look, like I said, you know, there's it doesn't matter where you play. You just got to get the job done. You've got to adapt as a side and as an individual as well. So looking forward to the challenge on Friday night against a very good side. So they're the games, as I said at the toss, you know, as players, but as a team, you want to be in the mix and want to play games at this stage of the year that mean something and something on the line. If you're not, you know, you're not doing what you need to do. So we'll be really up for it. And like I said, really looking forward to it.
Is it almost you play under pressure to win on Friday, or is it the fact that it's just, you know, this is your skill set, you just have to deliver it?
That's what I mean. Nothing changes. Just got to go out and do your job and be ruthless with it. I'd much prefer, you know, a bit of pressure on the line and to get the game done. You want to be that guy to stand up. Doesn't change what we need to do as a team. And actually, you know, just having the clarity around, you know, what makes you individually a really good player and sticking to that and backing that in. And we know it's never an issue with this dressing room. We back each other up, and certainly from the coach, Adam, you'll have his backing in whatever you decide to do. So, yeah, go out there and be bold and take the game on.
The game starts at 6:30 tomorrow evening. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.